Today's class will be given by His Grace Krishna Charan Prabhuji on the topic Srimad Bhagavatam from 4.9.18 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, you are there on the call?
Yes, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Yes, Prabhuji, thank you so much for your valuable time. Take over, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I am Krishna Archan Das, not Charan. Archan means worship, deity worship. And Krishna Archan Das. Today the verse we are reading is Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 9, entitled Dhruva Maharaj Returns Home, text number 18 and 19. So, since text 18 doesn't have a purport, and we'll just read the verse and translation, and then we'll go to 19. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Maitreya Vacha, Parabhishtata Evam Vai Satsankalpena Dhimata, Satyanu Ratto Bhagavan, Satininjedam Abravit. The great sage Maitreya continued, my dear Vidura, when Dhruva Maharaj, who had good intentions in his heart, finished his prayer, the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, who is very kind to his devotees and servants, congratulated him, speaking as follows. So, text 19, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. वेदाहं ते व्यवसितं ऋजिराजन्यबालक तत्र यच्छामि भद्रं ते दुरापमपि सुव्रत. Translation. The personality of God had said, my dear Dhruva, son of the king, you have executed pious vows, and I also know the desire within your heart. Although your desire is very ambitious and very difficult to fulfill, I shall favor you with its fulfillment. All good fortune unto you. Purport. The Lord is so merciful to his devotee that he immediately said to Dhruva Maharaj, let there be all good fortune for you. The fact is that Dhruva Maharaj was very much afraid in his mind, for he had aspired after material benefit in discharging his devotional service, and this was hampering him from reaching the stage of love of God. In the Bhagavad Gita 2:44, it is said, Bhogai Swarya Prasaktanam. Those who are addicted to material pleasure cannot be attracted to devotional service. It was true that at heart, Dhruva Maharaj wanted a kingdom that would be far better than Brahmaloka. This was a natural desire for a Kshatriya. He was also only 5 years old, and in his childish way, he desired to have a kingdom far greater than his father's, grandfather's, or great-grandfather. His father, Uttanapada, was the son of Manu, and Manu was the son of Lord Brahma. Dhruva wanted to excel all these great family members. The Lord knew Dhruva Maharaj's childish ambition. But how was it possible to offer Dhruva a position more exalted than Brahma's? The Lord assured Dhruva Maharaj that Dhruva would not be bereft of the Lord's love. He encouraged Dhruva not to be worried that he childishly had material desires and at the same time had the pure aspiration to be a great devotee. Generally, the Lord does not award a pure devotee material opulence, even though he may desire it. But Dhruva Maharaj's case was different. The Lord knew that he was such a great devotee that in spite of having material opulence, he would never be deviated from love of God. This example illustrates that a highly qualified devotee can have the facility of material enjoyment and at the same time execute love of God. This, however, was a special case for Dhruva Maharaj. beautiful verse, translation and purport. Talks about a lot of things. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnana Anjana Slanga Chakshun Militam Vena Tasmai Shri Bhavaya Namaha Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutupadakamalam Sri Guru Nvaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sakra Jatam Sakra Nadunatha Nvitam Tam Sajeevam Sadvaitam Javadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakhantamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityamane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschati Veshtarine Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Vita Paditanam Pavane Jyo Vaishnavendra Namo Namaha Hey Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gauravananda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna. So it is said that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would personally hear the narration of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj regularly from devotees hundreds and hundreds of times. So Dhruva Maharaj is one of the examples of child devotee. A devotee from childhood. Another child devotee is Prahlad Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj. There are two examples from Srimad Bhagavatam of child devotee. So, although they are young, especially Dhruva Maharaj was 5 years old. Prahlad Maharaj also was, Prabhupada is 5 years old. Even though he was so young, he was so strong in his devotional service. He was very determined to obtain the mercy of Krishna. So much so that even the great demigods could not perform the kind of austerities that he performed. So obviously this was not possible, this is not possible for any small child. Never ever again in history have we heard anyone else at that age has performed such severe austerities and devotional service. So Dhruva Maharaj, after performing these austerities, and he meditated upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead so intensely that he completely forgot all external consciousness. Imagine the kind of intensity with which Dhruva Maharaj was meditating on Krishna, that everything else, even he stopped breathing. So that's only possible when he is in samadhi, absolute samadhi, where he is even stopped breathing. So because of this intensity of his devotional service, therefore here it is being said, the Supreme Lord is saying that, my dear Dhruva, son of the king, you have executed pious vows, and I also know the desire is in your heart. Although your desire is very ambitious and very difficult to fulfill, I shall favor you with its fulfillment. All good fortune unto you. In other words, the kind of austerities that Dhruva Maharaj has performed, because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, ye yatha mam pavadyante tam sateva bhajame. As one surrenders unto me, I reward that person accordingly. So we have never heard anyone, get the kind of benedictions like boons, like what Dhruva Maharaj has received. He received Dhruva Loka, which is considered even superior to the planet of Lord Brahma, Brahma Loka. So how is it that the Lord fulfilled his desire? Dhruva Maharaj wanted a kingdom greater than his great-grandfather. So his great-grandfather is Lord Brahma, who is the creator of the universe. He is the original you know, like living being of this universe. It is also the greatest of all living beings, Brahma. So how can anyone, you know, get a position higher than Brahma? It is not possible. But still, this was given to Dhruva Maharaj. Why? Because simply for one reason, because of his qualification. Because the Lord does not award anyone whimsically, reward or punishment anyone whimsically. Whatever the Lord does, there is always a higher plan. There is always a you know, a very, very genuine and very pertinent reason. In other words, Dhruva Maharaj was not given just out of the whims of the Lord. It was because Dhruva Maharaj was absolutely qualified to receive that benediction. As Prabhupada writes in the purport, generally the Lord does not award material opulence to his devotees. Why? Because material opulence is like poison, especially for those who have an inclination to enjoy sense objects. So, because sense gratification is always, as in Bhagavad Gita, several places, Lord Krishna explains that, you know, attachment to sense gratification can be, you know, very disastrous for devotional service. So, therefore, Krishna never gives material opulence to his devotees who are inclined to enjoy such things or who are inclined to or attached to such things. However, the Lord actually, he awards material opulence to those who are not attached. Right? There's a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam which says, Satyam dishat yarthitam arthita nrinam naivarthado yat punar arthita yataha Soyam vidhate bhajatam anichatam ichha pidhanam nijapada pallavam. That means Krishna, generally, yes, he fulfills the desires of his devotees. However, if Krishna finds that these desires, you know, the fulfilling those desires will cause the devotee to become attached to such gifts, and that makes him ask for more. So in that case, Krishna does not fulfill those desires, but then he gives them pure devotional service. So Krishna fulfills the desires of his devotees in two cases. In one case where the devotee is a neophyte and he is attracted to Krishna, so to encourage a devotee to make progress in Krishna consciousness, Krishna offers material opulence or fulfills their material desires. However, as one progresses in devotional service, you know, if he is attached to those material opulences, then Krishna does not fulfill those material desires. However, if one is detached completely and he is capable of using those opulences in Krishna's service, in that case, Krishna gives unlimited material opulences, just like in the case of Dhruva Maharaj. So, we find several examples in the scriptures of devotees who had material opulences but was never attached to such material opulences. No, they were willing to give up those material opulences if that was Krishna's desire. In Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, there is the example of Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was obviously he was a demon. He was born in a demoniac family. So Bali Maharaj, being a descendant of Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj was his grandfather. So therefore, he had the qualities of both Hiranyakashipu as well as Prahlad Maharaj. So he had the ambitiousness like Hiranyakashipu and he had the devotional service of Prahlad Maharaj. However, his ambitiousness was not good for devotional service. So therefore, Krishna wanted to purify him of that contamination. Therefore, you know, the Lord came as Vamandev, you know, and in the form of a Brahmana, dwarf Brahmana, and he took away, and he came to beg from Bali Maharaj for 3 paces of land. And Bali Maharaj, you know, knowing very well that this is Krishna himself, he was eager to offer everything to Krishna. So since he was very, you know, materially attached, you know, he was very ambitious. So therefore, Krishna wanted to take away all his material opulences. So he took away everything. He came as Vamandev, but then he expanded himself into a very huge size. He became Trivikrama, and in 3 steps of land, in 3 steps, he took away all the possessions of Dhruva Maharaj. I'm sorry, Bali Maharaj. So the thing is that so he removed his material attachments and ambitions. However, because Bali Maharaj has placed, he gave priority to pleasing Krishna more than having material opulences. So therefore, he surrendered everything to Krishna. He offered everything to Krishna. So that is the thing. So when a devotee is materially attached, Krishna takes away all his material attachments. However, at the same time, when the devotee becomes purified, then again he gives them back. You know, you...
Hare Krishna. Can you hear me?
Yes, Krishna Prabhuji.
Yeah. I thought there is some problem. Vardhana Mataji, is Prabhuji connected?
Yes, Mataji, Prabhuji connected, I don't.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Mataji, so we connected them through Vanej, or are you connected online?
Vanej, Prabhuji.
Yeah, maybe you can reconnect them, maybe.
That helps. Yeah, I'll disconnect and I'll reconnect, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Mataji, is there any problem in speaker or recording?
Prabhuji, you are on the call, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. I'm not sure where it got, when it got disconnected, because I was continuing to speak till now. You know? So, what was the last point which you heard?
Like, Lord took everything from Bani Maharaj and...
Oh, I was narrating the story of Pundarik Vidyanidhi.
No, we did not hear that.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we only heard from the time that he took everything from Bali Maharaj.
Oh, okay. that was a long time ago, actually.
Yeah, it was a long time.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So, anyways, Bali Maharaj was actually, although Krishna took away all the opulences of Bali Maharaj, when he realized that Bali Maharaj had a change of heart, you know, that is, he surrendered completely to the Lord, so he had a change of heart. So then the Lord actually gave back, in fact, not exactly the same thing that he lost, but he gave him, you know, an opulence which is equal to or greater than that which he had lost. So he first gave him back he gave him the Sutala planet, which is considered to be far more opulent than heavenly planets. And then he also assured him that he would be Indra in the next Manvantara. So the point is that the Lord is very munificent. He is willing to give, in fact, even something greater than what we are actually qualified for. But he is just concerned that we don't become attached and, you know, in that way ruin our devotional service. So we have several such examples from the scriptures. There is another example from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Pundarik Vidyanidhi was also a great devotee. He was an associate of Lord Chaitanya. So, Mukunda, one day he told Gadadhar Pandit that I'm going to take you to a great devotee of the Lord. And then Gadadhar Pandit was very eager to meet this devotee. So, when they both went to the house of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Pundarik Vidyanidhi was in great opulence. He was lying down on a couch. He was wearing opulent clothing and, you know, ornaments and everything. So he was in a very opulent setting. It is said that he used to chew paan, and the spittoon which he used for, you know, spitting the paan out, the spittoon was made of gold, you know. In a gold bowl, he would spit the pan out. And he had all these golden ornaments. And that way he was in a very opulent setting. So seeing this, this scene, Gadadhar Pandit was, little skeptical how this person could be a great devotee, because it seems that he is materially quite opulent, so he must be very attached to this opulence. So, realizing the mind of Gadadhar Pandit, Mukunda, he started reciting a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Aho Bakiyam Stanakala Kotam Gidham Saya Paya Dapya Sadhi. So, I mean, this glorifies Krishna as the most merciful personality, who even gave liberation to Putana, a demoness who actually came to kill Krishna. So, hearing this verse, Gadadhar Pandit, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he gets into ecstasy, and then he starts displaying symptoms of ecstasy. He just, starts rolling on the ground, and he displays great ecstatic symptoms just by remembering Krishna. So this, actually, by seeing this, Gadadhar Pandit becomes very much inspired. And he, in fact, feels very guilty for having, had a negative thought about Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He was thinking that this person is very materially opulent, so how can this person be, a great devotee of the Lord? But then he realized that one can be a great devotee even in material opulence. Just one second. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he was very Gadadhar Pandit, he felt guilty for having doubted Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and so the point being that one can be a great devotee of the Lord even in a materially opulent situation. So it is said that Pundarik Vidyanidhi is actually an incarnation of Vrishabhanu, King Vrishabhanu, who is actually the father of Srimati Radharani. So the point, even Nanda Maharaj, there are several examples of great devotees who were in material opulence. So Krishna would give unlimited opulence to a devotee who can utilize it in Krishna's service without being attached. So, however, it is said that there are two classes of devotees. So one class of devotee is those who are not attached to any material opulence, just like the Brahmana Sudama, not the Sudama of Vrindavan, but the Sudama Brahmana who was a childhood friend when Krishna was studying in Sandipani Muni's ashram. So the Brahmana Sudama who actually came to Dwaraka to meet Lord Krishna. So Sudama also was very much in great material poverty. He was very poor, but at the same time, he was a great devotee of the Lord. But he was never attached to any material opulence. In this way, there are several other examples of devotees who are in great poverty also. Even in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have the example of Kolavecha Sridhar. Kolavecha Sridhar was actually, he was a very great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. And it is said that he was so poor that he didn't even have proper clothes to wear. His clothes were full of holes. He didn't have any utensils in his house. And he also, his roof leaked all the time. No, when there was rain, his roof leaked all over. In this way, he was living in poverty. At the same time, he had absolutely no material desires. And Lord Chaitanya in his Mahaprakash Leela, he calls Solavaja Sridhar and he actually asks him, what do you want? So Solavaja Sridhar says that I have no material desire. I just want to see you. I just want to have your association of that Nimai Pandit who used to come to me every day. So in this way, devotees of the Lord, you know, they have no material desires. So among the devotees, again, among pure devotees, there are two types. One is those who do not like to have any material desires, or those who do not like to have any material opulences. And the second category is those who do not mind having material opulence. So first is those who do not like any material opulences, and the second is those who do not mind material opulences. So the first category of devotees, pure devotees, they are both pure devotees. The first category of pure devotees are those who do not like material opulences. So therefore the Lord does not give them because they do not want it at all. Like Kholavicha Sridhar. And, you know, there is also the example of, you know, a Brahmana in Mithila, Shuddha Deva, who welcomed Lord Krishna. He was also a very poor Brahmana. And this is, there are several such examples of devotees who do not want material opulences. And also in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the example of Avanti Brahmana. He was also not only in great poverty, but he was also, you know, I mean to say, he was also like materially, he was having a very tough time. He was having many difficulties, many problems in his life. He was abused. Yeah, he lost everything. His family spurned him. He was living by begging. At the same, even as he was begging, he was insulted by people. So in all these material difficulties and problems, he never had any complaints. So that is another example. That's another example of devotees who do not want any material opulence. So since they do not want any material opulence, therefore Krishna also does not give them. And the second category is of devotees who do not mind material opulence. So they are okay with or without opulences. So if there is opulence, they can use it in Krishna's service. Right. So to them, Krishna gives material opulences as much as they require in the service of the Lord. But we don't have a third category of devotees who are attached to material opulences. Because if they are attached to material opulences, probably they are not devotees actually. So in this case, we have, in this category, we have several examples of great Rajarshis, you know, the great saintly kings, who are all obviously materially highly opulent, like Yudhishthira Maharaj, of course, and several other such examples. So, therefore, the main thing is, what one a devotee should be attached to is simply the lotus feet of Krishna, nothing else. Mm-hmm. In contemporary times, we also have example of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada's dedication to serve Lord Krishna was the same when he had absolutely no followers, no temples, no opulence. He was very determined to preach Krishna consciousness. And even when he came to the US and he had great success in preaching Krishna consciousness, he had you know, devotees, you know, inviting him all over the world for programs. He had wonderful facilities. Those places he was given very opulent place to reside. Like in Detroit, he has a Fisher Mansion, and in Los Angeles and several other such temples, he had like very good facilities for him to stay. And the same Srila Prabhupada, when he went to some other temples where there was no opulence, he was still the same person. He did not have any complaints. And Srila Prabhupada went to Bhuvaneshwar in India, where His Holiness Gaur Govind Swami Maharaj was having a project. He was going to build a temple, but there was nothing there at the time when Srila Prabhupada went there. Maharaj was living in a small thatched hut, actually. So Srila Prabhupada stayed with him for 15 days in that hut. So the point being that, you know, Srila Prabhupada was, you know, his determination and eagerness to serve Krishna was the same, you know, in every case. So this way we can see that, you know, a devotee, you know, irrespective of the situation, whether poverty or not, he always serves Krishna with great eagerness. So therefore here, since Krishna understood that Dhruva Maharaj was able to serve, or he was able to remain Krishna conscious, you know, and he was not going to be attached to the material opulences, therefore Krishna went ahead and fulfilled all the material desires of Dhruva Maharaj, even though they may seem impossible, or they may, you know, they were like far out. So the Lord's magnanimity is so great. So this illustrates the Lord's magnanimity. He doesn't mind sharing his opulence. Krishna is not a very like greedy master. He is like very, very magnanimous. Not the word greedy is not right. Like Krishna is not stingy. He is very magnanimous. We have another example from Ramayana. In the Ramayana, when Lord Ram, along with his monkey army, when they, you know, reached Lanka in order to fight with Ravan, you know, they crossed, they had a bridge over the ocean, and then crossed the bridge, they reached Lanka. At that time, Vibhishan, who is the younger brother of Ravana, he comes to surrender to Lord Ram. And then Lord Ram asks for the counsel of his, you know, advisors, various devotees, whether Vibhishan should be accepted, whether he should be given shelter or not. So everyone gave their opinion. Most of them, they actually said that, you know, we should not give him shelter because he is obviously, he is the brother of the enemy, so he could be a spy, you know. So therefore we should not give him shelter, and he is a demon, moreover. However, Hanuman advised that, you know, he should be given shelter because he could recognize that he was a pure devotee. So, and after hearing everyone's counsel, Lord Ram declares that, you know, anyone who has come to my shelter, who says that I am yours, I take responsibility, I take charge of that person. So therefore, I can never reject anyone who has surrendered to me. So he accepts surrender of Vibhishan, and at that very moment he declares Vibhishan to be the king of Lanka, you know. And then Lord Ram says that, what to speak of Vibhishan, even if Ravana himself would come and surrender to me, I would give him shelter. I would provide for him. So having heard this, Hanuman asks Lord Ram, saying that, you know, you have already declared Vibhishan to be the king of Lanka. Now if Ravana were to come and surrender to you, then what would you give Ravana? So then but Ram said that I would give him Ayodhya, his own kingdom. So Lord Ram is so magnanimous. The Supreme Lord is very, very magnanimous. So therefore, all this gives us faith, you know, that Krishna's protection is very, Krishna is very, he protects the surrendered souls. You know, we don't have to worry about our protection when we come to devotional service. Therefore, one of the six symptoms of surrender is Rakshishyati iti Vishwaso. In other words, faith that Krishna will protect me. So by hearing all these pastimes, what we need to understand is that Krishna, we don't have to worry about our own maintenance and protection. All we need to worry about is how we can serve Krishna best. So that is the message, and a very beautiful work. And here Prabhupada writes that, you know, Krishna immediately said, you know, all good fortune unto you. So therefore, Krishna consciousness is always a very auspicious path. Krishna comes in our life only to give us auspiciousness. So path of bhakti is full of auspiciousness. So therefore, there is nothing more auspicious than Krishna consciousness. One of the characteristics of your devotional service is that it is all auspicious. So therefore, we can understand that a devotee need not worry about his own maintenance. So excessive anxiety about one's own problems indicates that there is a lack of faith, or there is a lack of trust in Krishna. So that is, these are some of the thoughts which I wanted to share on this verse. So I'll stop here. If anyone has any questions, you can ask at this point. Any questions or comments? Anyone wants to share something or ask some questions? Welcome. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Nobody just struggled with us. actually, when you were giving an example of some of those who don't mind material opulence for the service of the Lord. I didn't catch the name of the person. That was it.
I was giving the example of Pundarik Vidyanidhi.
Pundarik.
Example of Maharaj.
Which one?
Maharaj Yudhishthir also was another example.
Oh, maybe it was Yudhisthira. I think it was Yudhisthira, because Pundarik Vidyanidhi, I heard him. But then you said, I guess it was Yudhisthira Maharaj was the other example, right? That was the only other example, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I said, you know, there are, all great kings, you know, the Rajarshis, who were, you can have many such examples like Ambarish Maharaj, you know, all these great saintly kings, you know. They were obviously in great material opulence.
You know, You know, one thing that kind of occurred to me too was, you know, pure devotees, they are completely detached from material opulences. And so I was just wondering about those who don't want the material opulences, because to have some kind of aversion to Krishna's energy, it suggests a certain level of attachment to me, you know? So I was just wondering about that. My question is, how is it that a completely pure devotee has any kind of even aversion to material opulence? Why aren't they completely, you know, equipoised about it?
Okay, I had the same question at one time. However, I asked the same question and to a devotee, and you know, I got a very good answer. When we say averse, it is to say that particular devotee does not have the tendency to serve Krishna by using material opulence. Just like everyone, you know, the bottom line of being a devotee, I mean, the basic qualification of being a devotee is, you know, obviously being willing to do anything for Krishna. At the same time, there is also the particular tendency of the devotee to serve Krishna in a certain way. So devotees who have like no inclination to do a particular type of seva, just like whether it is, you know, dealing with opulence, dealing with material opulence. So there are devotees who, they are pure devotees, but they do not have that tendency.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, they do not want that kind of material opulence, because they know that they won't be able to use it, or they're not. It's just not in their nature to use material opulence.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they just don't want it. It is not that they hate something.
Yes.
But
yes.
You know, like Krishna also gives things, you know, according to that particular devotee's nature to serve Krishna. No?
So
if it's not in their nature, then they just don't want it. But if a devotee is capable of utilizing a certain amount of material opulence in Krishna's service, then he may not mind if that opulence comes to him. Then he would gladly utilize it in Krishna's service. And in that case, Krishna would give him those material opulence.
Right.
I hope that answers your question.
It does perfectly. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Yeah. For example, for the particular kind of service that the Avadhut Brahmana in the 11th canto, which Lord Krishna narrates to Uddhava about, for the particular kind of service that he was doing, he was an Avadhuta. I mean, he was, you know, like absolutely, completely desireless. He didn't have any material possessions. So for his kind of service, his service was just to remember Krishna. Or you can take the example of Rishabhadev. Like Rishabhadev, at one point he was a king. So at the time when he was king, obviously he utilized the material assets in Krishna's service. However, when he became an Avadhuta, at that time he did not need them. So, you know, for the kind of service that he was doing at the later stage, when he was an Avadhuta, you know, he just was completely absorbed in his mind in Krishna's service. So he did not have any tendency, or he did not have any need for any material opulence. So that could be taken as an example probably of both, you know. So when the devotee does not, you know, he has a particular type of service which does not require any material opulences, then they do not want it, so they don't need it. Generally for sannyasis and renunciates and for like kind of Babajis or Avadutas, that kind of personalities, they're completely free from material opulence because their service is more internal. But whereas for householder devotees and for those who are dealing with a family and with public or with a responsibility in the social sphere, they generally they accept material opulences because their particular type of service needs it involves dealing with those things. So according to one's particular type of service, one's particular type of inclination, so Krishna either gives or does not give.
Okay, Prabhu, thank you very much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Is there any other question? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji. Nicely explained. Hare Krishna. I don't have a question. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for wonderful class. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thanks for giving me an opportunity to serve by sharing some thoughts or my understanding on this beautiful verses of Bhagavatam. And
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, and Dr. Almost Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. If no one has any question or comments, we can end now. Give your obeisances to all the Vaishnavas. One chakra, Bishop, passing the favor. Namo Namaha. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrindaki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai,
Vindraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, His Grace Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu.